apologies for that. So, before I move on, there was one item also that the police as a responsible authority had asked for us to include as a condition on the licence, and that is set that at P3, small letter D, we insert, the event cannot proceed unless the EMP is agreed by Hertfordshire Constabulary to, in the event of any of the responsible authorities advising the licensing authority that the final version of the event management plan, EMP, does not, in their professional view, fully satisfy their reasonable requirements to meet the four licensing objectives, the event will not proceed until such time as the reasonable requirements are met and approval of the EMP is confirmed in writing by the licensing authority. So that condition will be included on the license going forwards. Okay, so returning to the substantive decisions that we've reached, the effect of failing to comply with conditions explained to the applicant. Well, I feel that that's the wrong standard box for this case, but I will say now, for the benefit of those here and not here, that the effects of failing to comply with any of the conditions attached to the licence that Mr. Maskell holds or certificate is a criminal offence which, upon conviction, would result in an unlimited fine or up to 6 months' imprisonment or both. So I think that the licence holder is sufficiently clear of the consequences of not complying with the conditions. The subcommittee has taken into account the guidance issued under section 182 of the Licensing Act 2003, that's the April 2017 version, in reaching its decision. It has found the following sections of particular relevance in reaching this decision. There are a lot of different sections that will be set out here in the report. It's of no value to us for me to list all of those sections to you now, but they will be there for you to reference when we produce the document at the end of this hearing. Okay, the subcommittee has taken into account North Hertfordshire District Council's statement of licensing policy in reaching its decision, and they have found the following sections of particular relevance in reaching the decision. Again, if you've seen the licensing policy that we've got, you're aware that it's quite a hefty document. There are going to be a number of sections referenced and that we have relied upon in our considerations. There's no value in me reading those out. They'll be in the report. Now, in order to reach this decision, we've obviously weighed up various factors. We've considered the licensing objectives, and we wanted to explain a little about our reasons for reaching the decisions on the conditions to impose. Having considered the submissions of everybody that's been present at the hearing today, we felt that the premises license in its present form was causing concern, and clearly it was causing particular concern to the residents of Row Green. So we therefore considered whether those concerns were capable of being addressed by an amendment of the current condition, the inclusion of additional conditions, or where revocation was appropriate. And having carried out that exercise and weighed everything up, this subcommittee felt that remedial action specifically targeted at the causes of the concerns raised would be sufficient to address the concerns. And so revocation was not appropriate in our view on this occasion. It was clear to the subcommittee that the hours of the event in their present form was a cause for concern, for residents of Row Green. And we therefore felt that it was appropriate to reduce these hours in order to promote the licensing objective of prevention of public nuisance. The issue of noise was another cause of concern. It was even acknowledged by the premises license holder's noise expert as a concern. The subcommittee therefore felt that a specific condition designed to mitigate the impact of noise was appropriate to promote the licensing objective of prevention of public nuisance. And the subcommittee were in agreement that a staggered egress was preferable and advised. However, due to the reduction in hours, the subcommittee didn't feel that late night refreshments until midnight was appropriate, so this cannot persist beyond 11 o'clock, which still allows 30 minutes drinking up time to 11:30. This decision will come into effect from the end of the period for appealing the decision, which is 21 days. Or, if the decision is appealed, the point at which the appeal has been dealt with by the magistrate's court. An appeal may be made against this decision by the applicant for the review, the holder of the premises license, or any other person who made relevant representations in relation to the application. The appeal and appeal fee must be lodged with the clerk of Stevenage Magistrates Court no later than 21 days after the day on which the parties were notified by the licensing authority of this decision. At any stage, following the grant of a premises license, a responsible authority, such as the police or any other person, such as a resident, affected by licensable activities at the premises, may ask the licensing authority to review the license because of a matter arising at the premises in connection with any of the four licensing objectives. The review is a request for the council to look at the existing license and decide whether its conditions are adequate to meet the four licensing objectives defined under the Licensing Act 2003. This application for review, considered by this subcommittee, does not automatically preclude parties from applying for a further review. However, the Act allows the licensing authority to determine that any request for a further review that is repetitious will not be accepted. The Council's Statement of Licensing Policy states, at D11.7, the Council is aware that a request for a review is not intended to be a tool for further challenging the grant of an application following unsuccessful representations on an earlier occasion. Each review application will be considered on its own merits. However, the Council would ordinarily expect that there to be an interval of at least 6 months from initial grant to fully assess the operation of a premises in relation to the licensing objectives before a review application is accepted from a person other than a responsible authority. D11.8 also says, additionally, the Council would ordinarily expect only one application for review from a person other than a responsible authority within a 12-month period, save for exceptional circumstances supported by compelling evidence. Right, that concludes the decision and also this hearing. I think my legal officer has something.
Just wanted to clarify about the camping issue, obviously. There is to be no camping by anyone, including staff or performers or anything, so it is a zero on all camping, not just on public camping. Thank you.
And when will the decision be available?
It will be published tomorrow on the website.
Okay, so the decision will be available online on NHDC's website tomorrow for you to see.
Is it possible just to get some clarification on one of the points? The live music, you said, ended on Saturday at 10:30. So then something was mentioned about further music in enclosed spaces. Clarify what time that would be?
11:30.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Dan. Can I ask for a clarification as well, please?
Yep.
No camping to be permitted by anybody. Does that actually include... they have an event control centre, as you heard. They have glamping lodges there. Does it mean that no one can sleep apart from the landowner on the premise, on the event location?
If they're not camping, they can sleep there. If they're camping, they would not be permitted to be camping. So not camping would be, for example, sleeping within one of the permanent buildings or dwellings on the land. I take the view that camping is the ordinary everyday meaning of the word.
Canvas.
Not
canvas is camping.
Not glamping.
That's very 21st century. My view would be that I would construe that as also covering glamping. To me, glamping is a form of camping.
Does it cover VW campers?
Yes, it excludes camping. Camping in any and all forms. Okay. If it's not in a permanent building, I don't necessarily say dwelling, because you can sleep in a permanent building that isn't ordinarily a dwelling and it not be camping. But if it isn't a permanent structure...
That has planning permission.
Mm-hmm. I can't, that's going far too far.
The condition
is simply there is to be no camping of any form by anyone on site.
Great.
That's it.
All right, I'll give you a reason afterwards.
I can see that there's anything passing, but planning and licensing.
They're wooden arch. Yeah, they can sleep in that.
They can.
That's not camping.
But can I will raise it now, please. There is an issue with poplars at the moment that they have half a dozen glamping lodges that do not have planning permission.
There's a separate committee, not for this hearing. The hearing in terms of those, because I will take points of clarification. I will not open up items for other committees.
That's why I was asking. Okay, thank you.
All right.
So they can use it.
I didn't say that they could use it. I didn't say that they couldn't use it. That's for another airing. Anyway, if nobody has any further points of clarification, then I'm going to bring things to a close and wish everybody a very good evening. And thank you very much for your patience and persistence with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I commented on those believing there were already existing structures, so my comment doesn't count for it.
That's offline, it doesn't care for anything.
No, it's fine. It's fine. They aren't existing structures.
Yes, as you were.